Our scripture this morning comes from Acts 2, Romans 6, and 1 Corinthians 12. Hear now the words from Acts 2, verses 37 through 42. When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day.
From Romans 6. So what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? Absolutely not. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life.
And finally, from 1 Corinthians 12, Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You who are our strength, you who are our salvation. Amen. One of my favorite things in my job as a United Methodist pastor is spending time with our students as we prepare for confirmation. It's exciting to me to journey with our youth, to hear their perspectives of faith, to listen to their questions, and to begin to help them answer them, to talk about the promises that they make to God and to the community of faith at confirmation as they officially join the church. Part of what we talk about in the confirmation process is how confirmation is connected with baptism. Many of our youth were baptized as babies or very young children, and so for them, confirmation is a moment when they, for themselves, affirm the promises that their parents made when they were very young. Other confirmands have not yet been baptized, and they are making for themselves those promises to God and to the church for the very first time as they are being baptized and confirmed all at once. Most of us in this room have been baptized, and if you have not, I would say make an appointment with Pastor Mandy or myself so we can talk about that, because we would love to baptize you. Some of us were just babies when we were baptized. Others of us are old enough that we can remember it. I can't remember my baptism on May 28, 1972. I was too young, but I know it happened. Some of us were baptized as Methodist. Some of us were baptized in the Baptist church. Some of us in the Catholic church or in the Presbyterian church. A few maybe from other denominations. No matter how old you were or in what church you were baptized, we were all baptized equally. There is one baptism. In other words, there's no baptism that's better than another, and as Methodists, we don't ever re-baptize someone because we believe it's what God is doing in someone's life. That's what we celebrate. We acknowledge God's action as much as our human action. So we don't re-baptize because that would be like saying, well, God got it a little wrong the first time. Let's do that again. In the Methodist Church, we do reaffirm our baptism often. We, as sinful humans, take those vows again and again and remind ourselves that we are water washed and spirit born, that God is doing something in our life each and every day, that God is working to transform our hearts, to wash us clean of sin every day, even on those days when we don't realize it, when we don't even acknowledge it. At the beginning of the baptismal liturgy, we're reminded of just what a great gift baptism is. In baptism, we are welcomed, adopted, initiated into the family of God, the church. In baptism, we are made to be a part of all of the amazing things that God has done to redeem God's people, not just right now, not just in our lifetime, but throughout history. In baptism, we're made to be a part of God's great saving work in all time and in all places. In baptism, we are washed clean and we're made new by the water, something we can feel and touch, and by the Spirit, something that we only can feel in our souls. This great gift is just that, a gift. It's a gift that is free. We can't do anything and we can't give anything to earn it. There's no price for it. Because this gift is so great, because this gift is filled with so much grace, because the gift of baptism includes being welcomed into that wonderful family of God, there is responsibility that comes with this gift. I'm reminded, you know, because I'm a superhero fan, I'm reminded of that line in Spider-Man. Uncle Ben says to Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, which echoes to the scripture, Luke 12:48, from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. Each time we have a baptism and every time we renew our baptisms, we are reminded of the responsibility we have as baptized Christians in the world. When parents bring a child for baptism or when a youth comes to be baptized and confirmed, when an adult comes to make baptismal vows, or when we have those of us who have been long baptized, when we come to renew our baptisms, we are asked those powerful historical questions about our faith and the way we live it out. The first question, that first vow, recognizes evil in all its forms, cosmic, systemic, personal. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? When we say, yes, I do, to that question, we're first acknowledging that there is evil in this world. We recognize that there are spiritual forces that exist in individuals, in governments, in systems, big and small, very close to us and throughout the world. It is evil, it is against God's will when there is any form of hate or discrimination. It is evil when greed gets in the way of compassion and human need. It is evil when those in power, that could be political power, or that could be the power that I have just because the color of my skin is white. It is evil when power obstructs love, mercy, human connection, the building of relationships, and the building of lives. There is evil in this world. We know that. It is in us. And from it, we are asked to repent, to turn away. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world? Do you? The second question, the second vow we make in the baptismal covenant gives us a little help and a little hope. That first one was rough. We were kind of feeling like we were hanging out there by ourselves. The second one, the second question affirms that God gives us what we need to do what God asks us to do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? the freedom and the power. God gives us the freedom to choose to resist. God also gives us the power to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. This question calls us as followers of Christ to open our eyes, to look around, to see where there is evil. Where is there injustice? Not for us, not even for us, for others. Where is there oppression? This question calls us as baptized people to ask many questions. Where are those who are hurting in my community? Where are my blind spots to injustice and oppression because of my position, because of my education, maybe because of my race or my vocation or my age? Who could I have a conversation with that would give me a different perspective? Where are people in need? And how can I use that freedom and power that God gives me to help transform the world, to make change? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you? If the first two questions aren't powerful enough, the third one will really get you. It really gets to the heart of the matter. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? This is the bottom line, folks. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? The questions that have gone before and the rest of this third question are about how we confess Jesus with our lives. Will we put our whole trust in Jesus Christ? Will we serve Jesus as Lord? And do we acknowledge that God in Jesus Christ has given this wonderful gift, this baptismal gift, to every single person on the planet, no matter their age, old or young, no matter whether they're from England or Israel or Iraq or Syria or Mexico or North Korea, no matter where they come from, no matter whether they are white or cream-colored or chocolate-colored or brown or black or purple, the gift of God's freedom and power, God's gift of welcome into the family of Christ, God's gift of grace to wash our sin and forgive us when we get it wrong, is open to every single person. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Do you? The gift of baptism is a great one. It comes with the greatest of responsibility, the responsibility to continually seek to live up to these amazing vows, not just when we sit here in church, when it's easy, when we just can easily say, yes, I do, but when we go out into the world, when we watch the news, when we speak to our neighbors, the ones next door, the ones at the grocery store, the ones across town, when we spend our money, and when we decide how to respond to events in the world around us, like Charlottesville or the hurricane in Texas. The gift of baptism is a great gift. It comes with the greatest of responsibility. It also comes with the gift of community, of family. We don't live out these vows alone. We do it together, all of us here as the church, the body of Christ. We live out these baptismal vows washed of our sin and reminded that we belong to God and we belong to one another. We also live out these vows nourished at this table, the table at which we remember the sacrifices that Jesus made for us so that we might know just how loved by God we are. So I invite you now to prepare to come to this table, water washed and spirit born, come to this table. I invite you to join me on page 12 in your hymnal as we prepare to come to Christ's table.